Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, David Murphy. From the National Black Unity News, I want to welcome you to our podcast, our Monday night podcast. I also want to welcome you to our Blog Talk Radio. We are airing this on Facebook Live, so we are simulcasting in a variety of different formats. And again, I want to welcome everybody to the Monday night podcast. And there's a very small group of us right now, but when two or three are gathered, you know, powerful things happen, especially when God is in the midst. And before we get started, I want to share a few things with you. But as always, I want to welcome back my partner, Mr. Satawi Jahi. He's been having some some technical difficulties lately, but he's back, you know, and he's strong as ever. And welcome back to the call, brother.
Hey, brother, glad to be back, man. It's been a journey, man.
Yeah, I know. That's what life is all about. It's a journey, ups, downs, ins and outs. But nevertheless, you know, we still standing. And so, brother, you usually have something to share with us. You have anything to share with us this evening before we get started?
Yes, I do.
Reading
from Daily Motivations of African American Success, written by Mr. Dennis Kimbrough, who also wrote Think and Grow Rich and Black Choice. And the reading for the night goes like this, and this is right on time. You did that on purpose. We must all find our true purpose, like Michelangelo or Mozart or Leonardo da Vinci. Each of us must develop a mission in life. And that quote is from Michael Jackson, who was an entertainer, who was a tremendous entertainer. And, you know, keep his spirit in our prayers. The reading goes like this. Occasionally, we can see a strange sight at sea. The wind, the tide, and the surface ice will all move in one direction. But sailing majestically against these forces will be an iceberg. The reason is not hard to find. We see only a small part of the iceberg. Deep down in the water is the base, controlled by more powerful, deeper currents. Strength of character is the powerful current that keeps us going in the right direction. Each of us has a unique purpose. People only begin to fulfill their creative potential when they have a high degree of alignment in their lives. That is, when their pursuits and goals are in line with their own purpose. The most fundamental definition of personal power is having the capacity to realize your purpose. I'll repeat that again. The most fundamental definition of personal power is having the capacity to realize your purpose, to unlocking its power. Vision is the picture of the future that you wish to create. Vision is the vehicle for bringing purpose into the realm of acts and commitments. More people should realize that each of us needs a settled purpose in life, an aiming for it. Then by doing our very best every day, we will reach this point on which we have set our compass. Those of us who do remarkable things in our lives have a clear vision stemming from a deep and perversive sense of purpose. Today, I will align my purpose with my goals. You know, we need to all have a purpose in life and make sure that we stand on top of that purpose. We can get distracted at times, but we need to make sure we're always moving forth on our purpose. And when we do that, you know, we accomplish amazing things that seem like miracles at times. But, you know, the struggle is here. Struggle is constant. And the rewards of the struggle are great. You just got to stay on point and on purpose. Back to you, David.
Oh, man, I truly appreciate it. I needed to hear that as well. And I want to also welcome my sister Cheryl Ricks is with us this evening. I'll get with her as well. Back to you, Brother Satai. We're going to have a little discussion about our history, their history, you know, and who we are and where we are going. But before I do that, you know, I just want to give a little shout out to the National Black Unity News, because this is what making this podcast happen. The National Black Unity News is a publication for us and by us. It's a publication that has a variety of individuals whose sole purpose is to uplift us as a people. I often tell people this. I never met such a powerful group of people who truly care about us black melanated people. Now, we don't put down any group of racial people, but our objective is, our purpose is to uplift us so that we can have a greater future for not only for ourselves, but for our future generations as well. And on Monday nights, you know, we just have general discussions about this and about that, but they're all information that we all can use, or sometimes you may not even heard of some of the stuff that we speak about. But today, I want to give a shout out to some brothers and sisters who took a stand today. Hey, I live in the city, great city of Baltimore, Maryland. And we recently had a two-term state's attorney by the name of Marilyn Mosby. And she is being prosecuted because she did some things on getting a loan on her money. Her money. She didn't take anybody else but her money. They said she lied on the document and so forth, forgery and all this kind of stuff. But nevertheless, you know, and she's been tried already once, and this is her second trial. But a sad thing was happening. If people, those who are in Baltimore, I'm quite sure this made national news as well. She's been through a lot. And I think based on these type of charges, the average citizen would be locked up right now if they're going to prosecute anybody like that. When you buy a house and you get all of them documents, you just sign them away and you don't read all of the fine print. Even if you did, you wouldn't understand it. But in any case, I know quite a few people in the profession who are saying this is so strange because this would have never made it to a courtroom if it had not been just for Marilyn Mosby. And the reason being is because, I don't know if you remember, she indicted about four or five police officers some time ago. And when you, how would you say, rather shake up some feathers, put it that way, they are unforgiving, and they will hunt you down until they get you. Now, we don't have so many people in Baltimore City who have been persecuted, and I'm gonna drop some names. For example, we have a brother named Dallas Dance, who was the I think Baltimore County's superintendent of schools, and he almost did pretty much the same thing as Maryland did. He didn't do certain documents on his money, and did you know this brother? I said Dr. Dallas Dan. This brother was a young black brother, dotted his I's and crossed his T's almost all his life. And he made one mistake with his money, and they sent him straight to jail. No probation, no community service, straight to jail. Now, why would they do that? Here you got people out here that shot 10 people, 20, and they get probation. They get second chances and third chances. But this brother who did all his life went straight to jail. Then we had a couple of mayors, black women, and some of the, you know, these are not what you call major crimes or stuff like this, but they, one had to do with a little of this and some had to do a little of that. But these two sisters, you know, one sister went straight to jail and the other one, she, you know, got kicked out of office. And there was one way before about a young lady by the name of Jackie McLean. And so, you know, and Baltimore has a rich history of going after those who are willing to take a stand for us. And what I'm telling you this because today, Marilyn Mosby is on trial, and today was, I think, the final day where they go into the jury. But if you have been watching the news in the Baltimore, most of the time, as famous as this woman, you know, is, and many people she has helped back in the day when everywhere she went, there were thousands of people, all the dignitaries. But when she's down, you can hardly find two people walking with her. But I want to give a strong shout out to my brother and partner, Bill Gooden, and a couple other activists in the community, Lou Field, Michael Johnson, Smitty, and so many others who took a stand. You know, I belong to this group called Black Men Unifying Black Men, and we had a breakfast this past Saturday, and that was one of the main topics of that breakfast was Marilyn Mosby, how she's standing by herself, how they cost her so much of her personal money, and, you know, her and her husband got divorced, and so many things. The lady's losing a lot of weight. You can look at her physically. She's going through something. She got two daughters. And, you know, and then she's always down to what you call a state's attorney because it's depleting her funds. And, you know, and all the work this woman has done, all the schooling she has, because she did something on her, they went after her, and they still that. They ain't going to be satisfied till she in the jail cell. And they also talking about stripping her of her license to even make a living now because of a lawyer. See, this is kind of, this is unforgiving, this type of stuff. You know, just, and you know, we was upset, the men was upset because nobody was really standing with her or for her. She was going in the courtroom by herself with her drive and things like that. But the brothers, a shout out to my brothers, they say it's a shame that they persecuting this woman live right in front of our face and nobody standing with her. But today, they brought a busload of people down to Greenbelt, Maryland, and surrounded that sister, stood with her, stood by her. And I'm proud of my brothers and sisters, you know, just even brothers, women in there, to all of them just took a stand. Because, see, they are so used to prosecuting us, making us examples. You know, because anytime you stand up against a certain group of people, then you got to go one way or the other. And this is not the day. This has been happening pretty much since we've been here. And I'm just, you know, enough is enough. And I'm just so proud of my brothers and sisters for taking a stand with her. You don't have to like her. Even if she was guilty, nowhere, no country, no tribe where men would allow people to come in there and disrespect their sisters, their women. And Black men, we got to do better. We have to do better. We cannot let people continue coming into our community and make a mockery of our women and our children, and we sit back and do nothing. Man, it's time to stand up. I just want to share that with you, and I can say I'm so proud of my brothers, but this shouldn't even have to be, but since it is, they took a stand, and I did what I could on my end. But in any case, I just want to give a shout out to them. Now, here we are, ladies and gentlemen, in February 2024, and this is what they call Black History Month. And this is the time they share a lot of history about our contribution to this country. They just share some of the stuff. But a lot of stuff has been hidden, has been taken from us. And a lot of stories will never be told because they was crushed back in the day. But today, ladies and gentlemen, we can change that narrative. You know, we can tell our stories. We have all kinds of formats like this that we're on right now. This is documented stuff, you know, and it's great that we share our information with one another, share our stories for our children. You know, like I tell people often, I love my father and I love my grandfather, but I barely knew them. I didn't know their stories. I don't know their whys and some of the things that they've been through. But I tell you this, my children and my grandchildren want to know who I am. See, I'm documenting. This is being, that's why I'll be recording this right now. And we need to tell our story because our story has been taken from us, distorted. But ladies and gentlemen, since this is Black History, and I am again David Murphy, and I publish a newspaper called the National Black Unity News. And we have several members of the National Black Unity News on here. And I shared this last week to a special group of people. Since it is our history, I want to share a little history about who we are and what we do. I ain't talking about the National Black Unity News. I'm talking about newspapers in general. I want you to, this is going to take us only 3 or 4 minutes, ladies, so bear with me. I'm going to share my screen with you so that you can look at this very, very brief documentary about Black newspapers. And I hope I can get through this real quick. And so bear with me, and let's see if I can do this okay. think I got it here. I'm supposed to be an expert in technology, but hold on for one second, ladies and gentlemen. I think I got you now. All right.
Greetings. This is Hope, your spokesperson. State Publications. We are going to share some information about the history and the importance of Black newspapers. Watch this vital clip about Black newspapers.
Have you ever pondered the significance of Black newspapers, their inception, evolution, and the pivotal role they've played in shaping society? Let's delve into this enlightening journey, a testament to the resilience and ingenuity of Black communities. As we journey back to the early 19th century, we encounter the birth of Black newspapers. The first ever, Freedom's Journal, emerged in 1827, founded by John Russworm and Samuel Cornish in New York City. This publication stood as a beacon of hope, a voice for the voiceless, and a platform for Black communities to share their stories, challenges, and triumphs. The end of the Civil War in 1865 marked a new era for Black newspapers. The newly emancipated African Americans sought to establish their own institutions, and newspapers served as a critical tool for communication and community building. Publications like the Chicago Defender and the Pittsburgh Courier rose to prominence, providing vital news coverage and promoting social and economic progress. As we transition into the 20th century, these newspapers continue to flourish, taking on a more activist role during the Harlem Renaissance and the Civil Rights Movement. They championed civil rights, exposed racial injustices, and advocated for political change. These newspapers became a source of inspiration, a call to action, and a symbol of unity. Fast forward to the digital age, and we see the evolution of Black newspapers unfold. In the face of declining print newspaper readership, many have transitioned to online platforms, reaching broader audiences, and adapting to the digital landscape. Yet, their mission remains unchanged to inform, educate, and empower. So why are Black newspapers important? They serve as a historical record, documenting the struggles, victories, and day-to-day life of Black communities. They amplify voices often overlooked by mainstream media, offering a platform for dialogue and exchange. They foster a sense of community, encouraging civic engagement and social activism. And finally, they carry forward the legacy of those who fought for freedom, equality, and justice, inspiring future generations. In summary, Black newspapers have a rich and profound history. From their inception in the early 19th century to their continued relevance in the digital age, they have been instrumental in shaping society and amplifying Black voices. They have not only documented history, but also made history, leaving an indelible mark on the world. Remember, these aren't just newspapers. They are a testament to resilience, a beacon of hope, and a powerful voice for change.
The truth of the matter is that Black businesses and services are generally supported by Black people. If you want to reach, teach, and expose your services to Black people locally, nationally, and throughout the diaspora, then you should contact our representative who shared this video with you. If you want to promote your business or service with someone who cares about you and your success, our mission is to support Black businesses, organizations, and our people. The bottom line is help us to help you so that we can help ourselves.
Be right with you. Okay, I'm back. I shared that with you because, like I say, this is Black History Month, and I just wanted to give you a little history about our Black publications. And here we are in 2024, have over 200-something Black newspapers. And I strongly suggest that you support many of them as you possibly can. But unfortunately, a lot of our publications are dying, struggling, and a lot of them had kind of sold out, and I'm just being straight up about it, and they depended on corporate America to sustain them. But with the National Black Unity News, ladies and gentlemen, this is by us and it's for us. We are self-sufficient, self-supporting. We are what you call a collaboration. And that's why it's so important. You know, I tell people we own less than 1% of the media in this country. So all the information that we pretty much get in is coming from outside resources. And unfortunately, again, they do not view us in a high light. So they're going to do what they're supposed to do. But it's time for us to start doing what we need to do. See, we stand on great shoulders, strong brothers and sisters who took a stand in way worse time than what we have today. And it's no excuse whatsoever for us to be in this type of condition. And I understand we have been bombarded with false information. Our self-esteem as the people has been beaten down to almost nothing. We have been pulled apart. We have been separated. We have been taught to fight each other. But you know, God always raised up a remnant of people who would take a stand for righteousness, a stand for our people wholeheartedly, not willing to sell out. And as my brother was saying earlier, if you don't stand for something, if you don't have a purpose in life, a mission in life, if you're not willing even to die for something, then, you know, it may not, you know, like I said, sometimes your life may just be in vain. But in any case, while this country is celebrating Black history, and unfortunately, again, you know, our children hear about a few members of our society from back in the day, but there were so many contributions that no one ever speaks about. That was yesterday. So today, as I mentioned earlier, we have a lot of new tools, new objects. You know, I'm just going to strongly say, just like that little clip I showed you. See, I generated that through AI and everything. It needs a lot of work, but you know, that was just done in a hurry. But what I'm trying to say to you, if you don't know how to document yourself, we can help you. You know, you need to tell your story. You need to get in front of your phone, videotape yourself, and tell your story. Just like I want to know something about my grandfather and my father, you know, it's time your children want to know something about you, who you are, why you do the things that you do, what you stood for. And then maybe they can find some answers about themselves. But in any case, it's a small group of us on there. And again, I want to welcome those who are on our Blog Talk Radio as well as Facebook Live and on the Zoom platform. And I kind of mentioned that, you know, people, you know, they call this thing his story, the story that they tell us who we are and what we're about. And then speak truth to power. We need to start telling our stories. And I'm going to start off with a few people. We only have a few people on. I'm not going to keep you long tonight. But Sister Cheryl Ricks, can you unmute yourself, please?
How you doing, Brother David?
I am doing. I'm doing just great. And, you know, this is like open mic night. And I just, you know, just want to highlight something. Now, Sister Cheryl and I go back a little ways. And she is an author. She is an activist, as I call it. She may not consider herself that, but she's an activist. And she's a champion for our people. And she deals with a lot of women and women issues. And Cheryl, you know, she like I say, she does so much, and she also hosts a podcast. But Cheryl is a woman, a Black woman, and Cheryl has been through a lot of things in her lifetime, but she has overcome a lot of things as well, and she still is overcoming things. But now she has enough expression in life that she is helping others so that they can become overcomers as well. And Cheryl, I don't want you to tell your whole story or anything like that, but if you tell somebody right now a little bit about your yesterday and what you're doing today, how you come from that point to this point, I know that, you know, quickly as you possibly can. And the reason why I'm asking this is because there are people who will be listening to this podcast and thinking there's no way out and feel hopeless sometimes. And, you know, because in this lifetime, there's a lot of pressures, and sometimes people just don't know how to deal with it. And I know you deal with a lot of sisters, and I know they share a lot of information with you. And I just happen to be lucky enough to be on your, because I produce your podcast, and I heard you, you know, had conversations with so many great and wonderful people. And y'all bring out so many great solutions. So that's the reason why I'm asking you this. Can you share again with people who may be going through something and how you, Cheryl Rice, how did you overcome some things and what keeps you going in this day and time?
Again, my name is Cheryl T. Ricks, and that T has emphasis because it stands for time and trial tested and trials overcome. And I started out as a wide-eyed little girl in West Baltimore, Maryland. You know, my family, you know, we tend to be looked a little better off than some families in the community. My father was a truck driver and a carpenter. And a lot of the things that he did in the neighborhood, and my mom as well, you know, was all about supporting the neighborhood with their gift towns and building. My dad, he built things, you know, cabinets, you know, fixed things. My mom did hair, cooked biscuits, made biscuits for the neighborhood. And so as children, you know, growing up in the late 50s, early 60s, you know, we had each other as a community. You know, mom might have been in the house cooking or cleaning, and, you know, one of the neighbors might have been looking out for the kids while we outside playing. And so we had a sense of community back then. And one was in need, the rest of them rallied to make sure that they could get their needs met. And over the years, you know, things changed. You know, they had drugs and alcohol back in those days like they do now, but it wasn't as prevalent and it wasn't in your face like it is now. And if your brother or your sister or one of your relatives or friends was, you know, doing drugs or drinking, they go home. You know, this is grown folks stuff. Get out of here, you know. So a lot of the stuff that I went through as a child, it was sheltered. You know, it wasn't like it is today. And learning that, you know, community was important for us at that season and time of our history, I kind of was raised with a family who, even though we might have had arts or disagreements or different situations with us, if one was in need, you know, we came and we rallied to help whoever was in need. And we put our differences aside so we could help the family. And then in spite of, you know, what a lot of things happen in families and stuff, you know, we knew we were families. And we still, some today, still have arts, you know, where we work through it because we family. And I wound up being a teenage mom 3 times before graduating high school. Went through domestic violence. You know, went through mental health breakdown. I went through, you know, even though I was a teen mom, I was still on the honor roll because my mom, you know, she gave me that kind of support. She said, you can't, you know, stay after school and have any extracurricular activity because you got to come back and take care of this baby. So my mom, you know, she was my backbone. You know, she believed that I could be who I am today. And my mom and dad taught us stuff like there's no such thing as a word called can't. And you could do anything you put your mind to. Now, it didn't matter that even though they taught us those things and they did good things in the community, they struggled with alcoholism. And, you know, back in those days, you know, we had to do what we had to do. And in order to get through what we're going through, we had to find a way to get through it. So they dealt with the alcohol. And, you know, going through the trials that I've been through, it didn't stop with the mental health breakdown, teen motherhood, domestic violence. You know, I'm a breast cancer survivor. I have filed bankruptcy. I've been through foreclosure. I've been sued by a debt collector. And a lot of other things have happened. I made a lot of poor decisions and poor choices in my life. And the caveat to all that I've experienced and overcome has been my relationship with God through Jesus Christ and teaching me who I am in him and what he put in me and giving me the stick-to-itiveness and the overcoming strength and courage to know that just because I happened to be in any situation, circumstances at that moment, it wasn't always going to be that way. So in Christ, I got hope, I got encouragement, and I got his promises, and I got his forgiveness, and I got his plan and purpose for my life. And so even though I've gone through some challenges, I was able to enjoy the journey of the challenges. Early on, it kind of consumed me and overwhelmed me, but as time went on, you know, you get stronger, God, you get more resilient. And with every new challenge you face, you get stronger, more resilient. And so having gone through a lot of things in my life, things that used to take me out don't take me out now. The stuff that used to knock me off my feet don't knock me off my feet now. The things I used to look to for confidence and assurity, I don't look to for those things anymore. I look to God and his promises and the plan and purpose in which he created me for. So I like to help people know that, you know, instead of trying to be a carbon copy of a carbon copy or the next so-and-so, just walk in the one and only you. The world don't need you to be somebody else. They need you to be the one and only you. And if we would focus on being the one and only us, in which there is no competition, as I heard one person say, can't nobody beat you being you. And the object is not to be the next so-and-so or the you know, carbon copy of somebody else has already made their mark in life. And we are all created by God, and we are all one of a kind. And each of us was created for a divine purpose. And if we could just get to the place in our relationship with ourselves where we can see the good in us and not just what's been done to us, not just what we've gone through or our mistakes, or the things we haven't learned yet, if we can just say, you know what, in spite of the challenges I have, in spite of my mistakes, and in spite of the things I don't know, I do know this. I am that. I'm capable of this. And if we could just get to a place in our relationship with ourselves and stop looking outside of ourselves for things that only can be found within and from God himself, a lot of the challenges that we face, a lot of ways that we define ourselves would just go away. You know, people can lie all day long. And if we don't know the truth, which is God's word, then we'll believe the lie, believing it's the truth. And if we can just get to a place in our relationship with ourselves where we start getting to know us, learning to have a relationship with ourselves like we hope to have with other people. There's so many things we want other people to give us that we won't give ourselves. It's other things that we want other people to be to us, but we won't be to ourselves. If you allow somebody or something to define who you are without processing where you've been, where you are, and where you hope to go, you'll never be free. Freedom is not just, you know, having the ability to do whatever you want when you want, but it helping you to be able to be the one and only you. You can create something that nobody else can create, because what God has put in each of us, he only put in each of us. He didn't give me what he gave you. He didn't give you what he gave me. And so when we don't have to be envious. We don't have to feel like, you know, you're more, I'm less, or you're less and I'm more. We don't have to do any of that comparison. We can just look and say, you know what? I'm a one of a kind. You are one of a kind. You awesome and you're right. I'm awesome in mine. The same God who created you created me. He created you for a divine purpose and he created me for a divine purpose. I don't need to do what you do. You don't need to do what I need to do. But you need to do what you're created to do and I need to do what I'm created to do. This world that we live in, it's a lot of people just sitting home just alone with their problems, their situations, their mistakes, their past. But somebody, everybody need to get up and do something. A lot of things we want the government to fix. We want somebody else to be the rescue force. We could do it ourselves. There's such a thing called volunteerism. If each one of us, whether we were working or retired or disabled or social services, food stamps, whatever the circumstance, if all of us would donate at least 2 hours once a week to some cause that we could get behind and make a difference, this world would change so fast. missing. You sit home watching thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of TV, watching all kinds of things that ain't making nothing better for you or anybody else. It's just important that people just get up, do something. Those gifts, talents, and abilities that God has given us is not for us to keep to ourselves, but to give to others. My podcast show, Your Gift Will Make Room for You with Cheryl T. Ricks. I interview people all the time that sharing how they're using their gifts, talents, and ability to make an impact in their community, wherever they are. These people may never be known by the world, but they're known by the people that they impact. And all we need to do is make a difference wherever we go. We don't need the title. We don't need the recognition. We don't need the popularity. We don't need the fame and the fortune. We don't even need the money. If you want to live a full life, give yourself in service. Make a difference. Do what you can. Help somebody. You might not be able to do anything for yourself, but you can help that person right there that has a need that you can meet. Sometimes we're so busy about me, my, what nobody doing for me? What somebody need to do for me? If you get you off your mind and go make a difference somewhere else. There are people that don't even know how they're going to eat today. They don't have anybody to care. You know, there are sometimes you can walk around anywhere, in any state in the country, and you see homeless people. You see people that, you know, they don't know where to turn. They don't know how to figure it out. But all of us have discovered something that someone else hasn't figured out yet. We might not know everything, but we know a little more than somebody else. Give somebody the little you know. Let somebody give you the little that they know. Together, we all learn what we need to know so we can do what we called to do. So Amen. When you think about Black History Month, if you're a Black person, you are making history. You're either making it for the good or you're making it for the bad. And it don't take a whole bunch of stuff. It don't take no great grand gestures. Just wherever you are, make a difference. Sometimes we're talking about what young people are not doing or what somebody needs to do. We are the young people. We are the old people. We are the somebody that needs to do something. So just like get out of our own way and go and make a difference so our lives can count, so they can matter. They said the legacy is what we need to leave, to let the world know that we came and made our contribution. Just like other people we're admiring in this month of Black History Month, we're admiring their contribution. Who's going to admire your contribution? What contribution Amen. Will you make that you can be admired for? Get up. Do something. Make a difference. That's what I say Black history should be about. If you're Black, do something to make it count. That's all I got to say.
You said a lot to my sister. You,
Amen.
Yeah, you, you gave a sermon on that one. But you hit right on point because God has blessed each and every one of us with gifts and talent. And your show said your gift will make room for you. All you had to stop looking on the outside, like Sister Cheryl was saying. It's within you. God is within you. If gifts and talents are within you, all you have to do is dig them out, nurture them, and your gift will make a way for you. And with that being said, I'm going to bring this other gentleman up, my brother. His name is Walter Dempsey Murphy, and I've known this guy for a long, long, long time. And I watched him grow from, you know, like I said, we shared a lot of experiences when we was coming up as children. But he was always one of the tape brothers that Cheryl was speaking about. He didn't march to everybody else's drum. You know, he was an independent thinker. And you know, but he had to overcome a lot of challenges himself. Because, like I said, I lived in the same household as he did. Mr. Walter Dempsey Murphy.
Yes, sir.
I know your beginning. I knew some of your yesterdays, and we deal with a lot of things today. But, you know, you live in Petersburg, Virginia. You got a beautiful home, beautiful wife, and you retired military man now. And you know, you had to struggle just like everybody else. Right. You had challenges just like everybody else. You've been to wars. You've been in different countries. You've seen all kinds of things in life. But some would say, you know, where we start is not always how we're going to end up. And so what I'm saying to you, I just want you to share some of your yesterdays, your history, and where you are and how do you got to where you are today.
That David, that will be an honor and a pleasure to address this wonderful audience that you have assembled here today. I got to tell you guys, first and foremost, that I'm a blessed person. And when I say that, from my birth, blessed. All through the streets of Baltimore, blessed. Through all these different countries that I've gone through, two wars, blessed. The streets of Petersburg ain't much different from the streets of Baltimore. However, there's more of it in Baltimore, okay? Like in Baltimore, there's more of it in New York. The same stuff. And so there is no difference as far as my life is concerned. It's been a consistency in reference to having to overcome, look out, and do a whole lot of other things that made sense. But I don't want to address about a whole lot about me because understand something. I, like everybody else on here, we're individuals. There is no one like me, no one will ever be like me, and the same thing with you. I lived with David Murphy all of his life. You know what I'm saying? I have known David all of his life. And I will tell you that he has transpired from this to that to this to that to this what he is now. And it is an amazing journey. But I also want to tell you that I want to share with you about Black History Month. But I want to go back a little bit farther. One of the reasons that we celebrate Black History Month is because our country has disavowed a lot of our accolades, a lot of our accomplishments, and so many other things. And they made it so that we were less than. And I'm a student of history, and not current history, because current history is like, you know, what happened 10 years, 20 years, 40 years, 100 years ago. In fact, I'm 75 years old. I've lived a lot of it, okay? You know, I'm talking about a whole lot of stuff I have absolutely witnessed through news clippings and all kinds of stuff. But what gets me the most is who we are as an individual and what it took for you as a person to get here right now. There were thousands of people who had to do a lot of different things in order for you to just be, to be born. And so I'm an avid, like I said, I like history. And there is this one guy by the name of Dr. Gates who runs this TV program called Finding Your Roots. Wonderful program. White, black, orange, pink, green, yellow, purple, whatever color you are, he'll have you on. And he will go through your DNA and he will tell you about your family history. And one of the things I want to take away from that, if anybody who's ever seen it, the end of the show is always the same with different kinds of attitudes because some of those things that people learn, they're not happy with. Some of their ancestors did not do so well as far as their personal lives are concerned. They would not have done what their ancestors did, guaranteed. And then there are some who are so proud that it does bring them to tears. But what I want to say, regardless of either side, it's the awakening. It's now the knowing. And when you know, no one can take that from you. And so when it comes down to Black history, you know, we talk about slavery, but no. And we talk about, you know, we live in a Roman society. No. If everything came out of Africa, then everything came out of Africa. Period. I'm going to say this again. Let me say this now. I was listening to this situation just today, and it rung in my brain really clear. It said it was talking about this white person with blue eyes. And they said, and they were talking about DNA, and they said that in order for you to get blue eyes, you have to have a regressive gene. I'm going to say this again real plain, a regressive gene, not a fully functioning hybrid or anything. No, a regress. Hear what that says, a regressive gene. And in that, there are so many other things that that goes along with that regressive gene that has been reported as to be better. I'm going to say this again. I'm going to say this one more time. A regressive gene has been now to the point where it is better than the original. I want y'all to process that for a minute.
Yeah,
okay?
I just did.
and so, don't get this wrong. Every time that we as a, quote, black person gets the opportunity to do what they could not do because white people are always doing it, what happens? Look at the Tiger Woods I'm not going to go through that. Y'all know what I'm talking about. They let us in the basketball, let us in the baseball, let us in the football, you name it, tennis, skating, you name it, we do what we do because we are the original people. Now, don't get this wrong. I am not the original man. My name is Walter Eugene Dempsey Murphy, and I am not original black man. I have had my DNA done on a number of different platforms. I will tell you officially that I am, and so is David for that matter, because we came from the same loins, okay? I am an official black, red, yellow, brown, white man, according to my ancestry. Now, does that make me proud? Oh, heck yes. You know why? Because it's what I am, and I'm proud of who I am because I was made wonderfully well, just like you. I am no better than you. Cheryl said it so well earlier, just a little while ago, talking about the idea of everybody's different. And we are. Come on now, let's get it for real in it. David and I were grew up in the same household, and we are different as two peas in a pod. No, he's more like a string bean, and I'm more like a pea, okay? Whatever the case may be. The difference is that we are different. And we love each other, we do each other, all of that. But me and David don't think alike, we don't act alike, we don't do the same things alike. We don't even hang out the same way. Have different friends all of our lives. But what's most important is that David is a great and wonderful individual, and I love him dearly. Do anything for them. He knows it. He can shake his hand again because he knows exactly how I stand with him. Ain't no, there is nothing that I own that he can't have except my wife. You understand what I'm saying? And so get this straight. The deal is that you are a wonderfully made individual. There's never been anyone like you, and there will never be anyone like you in the future. So you be you the best you could possibly be. And if you fall short, the only person that's going to know that is you. Back to you, Dave.
Oh, man, powerful stuff, good stuff. Now, I got one more guest on here tonight, my partner, co-host, Brother Satavi Jaheed. Now, I've been on this brother for a number of years. And, you know, one thing that it really impressed me about this brother, that his heart, you know, this brother dedicated his whole life to helping people. In spite of himself, and he's been through a lot of challenges. He may be going through some challenges right now, but this I know. So I bear witness to this. When I first met this brother, he and his wife Cynthia Jahi lived not too far from me in a place in Baltimore. He's in North Carolina now. My brother Dempsey right now, and he's in Petersburg. And I didn't mention Cheryl Ricks is in North Carolina, so we all over the place right now. Just the four of us on here. But at the same time, they all have roots here in Baltimore. And when I met Brother Satavi and his wife, they opened their home to the neighborhood children. And they turned their home into like a recreation center. And they fed the children. They taught them skills like dancing. Brother Satavi would always teach children about their history, their true history. He would instill in them a sense of pride of who they are. And I even sent my children to them. And I never seen that, you know, I saw the transformation once they start being around Cynthia and Satavi Jahi, how proud they were of who they are, because they had knowledge, because they brother Satavi and them and put that knowledge into these children. And it's so much needed today. We need so many Satavis out here today because, you know, a lot of things has been taken from us. That's why we must restore what was taken from us. But Brother Satavi.
Yes, sir.
I want to ask you a few questions, sir.
Go ahead.
You know, we talked about a lot of why we do this and why we do that. But, you know, God puts a lot of gifts and talent in each and every one of us. But my question to you, if you are aware of it, Why did you do those things back in the day, doping your heart, your home, your heart to all of these children when you didn't have to?
Well, that's a heavy question, David. And I guess the best way to explain that was in my heart was that because somebody made it possible for me, always been my motto that I need to make it possible for somebody else. So that was the essence of what I did, why I did, what motivated me to do what I did. And
yeah, and let me ask you this then. Now, you and I are not that far apart in age-wise. And you know, you and I, you know, we share a lot of history. We didn't even know each other at that time. And he and I went to the same school, Rockland Middle School. And he lived in the same area, Emerson Village, but back in the day when we had to deal with a lot of other people who didn't look like us.
Yeah.
Brother Satali, I'm laughing because he told me this story one time. So he went into the military as well. And I think, I don't know where you was at, you know, but you said the people found him around to see if you had a tail.
I was in Australia.
You know, people, I'm laughing though, but you know, this is the sad commentary about how people view us sometimes. Tell them why, you know, why they were doing that to you, brother.
Well, what happened was during this is a long story, but during World War II, when black people went to that part of the world, Australia, you know, they had this thing about, you know, black men having tails, horns, and they would come out after, and our tail and horns would come out after midnight. And so that's how they tried to keep the white women from us, because, you know, the white women, well, they were crazy about the brothers. And, that's probably familiar with this too, in terms of being in the military, that the white women were fascinated with black men, and you know, for all the wrong reasons. But thing was that they would tell the white women that we grew tail and horn after midnight. So I'll never forget, you know, I was one of those people that pulled around a couple of white girls and got like around midnight, and she was like, "Where's your tail? Where's your horns?" I was like, "What you talking about? You know, you don't have no tail, you don't have no horns." You know, and so I was like, "Well, no, I ain't got no tail, I ain't got no horns." But it was just a fascinating experience. The military taught me a lot in terms of cultural awareness and things to be aware of in the world and how we stay in the world and how other people see us in the world. And, you know, people always see us different. And what's different about us is what tries to define is ways and means to hold us back. And so, well, that experience was like, you know, you got me going back in my head, you know, thinking about my going, growing up in the military, because I went in the military at 17. My mother had to sign for me, because my father, he wouldn't sign for me to go, because he said, you know, I was young and dumb and full of cum. And I'm not signing for you to go in, he said, because he said, you don't follow the rules around here. He said, you're going to have a hard time taking orders from people that don't look like you. And he was right, you know. He was right in his wisdom that, you know, I did have a hard time taking orders from people that didn't look like me. You know, I'll never forget when I was in boot camp and was this white, I was fast learner, so I got promoted to in boot camp where I had to give, I was in charge of our company, and I had to give orders. And it was this one white guy who was from West Virginia, I don't take no orders from a nigga. So I told the company commander, I said, you know, he don't take no orders from a nigga. And unfortunately, the company commander stood up for me and says, well, we don't have no niggas in here. He says, you know, you're a company petty officer. And if he ain't going to take no orders from you, then, you know, we got something for him. We got a place where he'll go for the weekend. And so that was the first time I saw a white person actually stood up, you know, for me in terms of having him do EMI, which was extra military instruction. You know, he had to go for weekend and spend time in confinement and doing push-ups and carrying buckets of water and all kind of stuff, you know. And when he came back, he came out of that experience, you know. He looked at me, you know, he stared, he rolled his eyes, but he didn't buck no more, you know. He didn't buck on me no more. And so that was good. That was a good film to see a white person.
You know that kind of, see that's what I'm saying. You know, you mentioned something very, you know, unique, and it's not unique, but you know, it's perception, what people has been taught. And has what they have told about us. And you know, by us being in media, all of us here is in media. And other people, like you say, from having tails and horns, we evil, we this, we that, you know. And people have a tendency to believe that kind of stuff. I mean, even to the point that the young lady was expecting to see horns and a tail. It's all I'm saying to you, you know, like I say, this history thing and what they're teaching us. But, you know, Brother Dempsey and as well as Sister Cheryl both said that, you know, we are unique. We one of a kind. Even though we may have the same skin tones and stuff like that, but we're all individuals with our own thoughts, patterns, and everything else. And, while we in media, you know, we have to learn, or you know, that media is a popper and it does persuade people's thoughts. And while we in media, especially with the National Black Unity News, we sending out our perception of love first and foremost. We also send out a message that we're not here to hurt or harm anybody, but we're here to assist and to help people. We also here, you know, in the National Black Unity News, we show our gifts and our talents. Not only other people can see it, because, you know, ain't the only, you know, I'm going to be honest about you, we already know this, but black people ain't the only one who reads the National Black Unity News. It's a whole lot of eyes on this publication, because they want to know, because like I said, their perception about us. And I'm come to you, Mr. Murphy, but their perception about us, and you know, it's so strange. And like I said, I came up and I told you we both went to this school called Rocklin Middle, and the majority of my classmates was white. And I I'm not just putting this on them, because I had perceptions about them too. And it didn't pan out that way. When I got around them, I put it this way, you know, just but they weren't no better than me, I found that out. But in any case, Mr. Murphy, you got something you want to share?
Yeah, David, first of all, I want to thank you for that tidbit, because they are no better than you and you're no better than them. It's an individual thing, okay? But what I wanted to jump in about what Jahi was saying about the myths of the black man, especially being overseas in some place like, you know, Europe, and especially during at World War One, World War Two, when we were allowed to participate in the war effort, there was a huge campaign to discredit the black man, because that way there would be more women for the white guy. You understand what I'm saying? So, you know, if the girls are all scared of the black guys, you know, they'll have a more opportunity to deal with the white guys. But understand something. That's been the way of the world before Aristotle, before all of the great so-called Greek writers, okay? And in fact, What gets me is the fact that they talk about the Greek philosophers and all that kind of stuff. Where did they get that from? I mean, seriously, now, where did all this wisdom come from if everything came out of Africa? And so what I would love for us to do is not get hung up on what happened in the last 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years or 90 years or, you know, and just celebrating those folks that was, you know, doing the Civil War, you know, Civil Rights Movement or you know, Harriet Tubman. It goes far much. Put it, if you really want to know your black history, go back even farther. Let's talk about Musa Musa, the richest man that ever lived on this planet that we know of. Period. Bar none. They could have all the wealth of all these guys, so-called the top 10 billionaires right now today, and they claim that he would still outdo all 10 of them right now together.
Mm.
That's saying something. And so here we are. We are shrinking our little brains about Black History Month when every single day of the year should be celebrated by the individual for who you are. And if you're black, amen. I don't have anything against Black history. Every year I try to do something special to let folks know. I mean, this has been for the last 40 years, 50 years, okay? Try to do a program or something. But what I'm trying to tell you guys is that it goes so much deeper than that, and your chest should be sucked out a lot bigger than it is right now, but just for the fact of who you are. If you really knew who you were, you would not be down. You would not be sad. You would not be so-called less than. There's no way. Ladies and gentlemen, you are who you are. Celebrate it.
That's
Black
right.
people was or not. Go ahead, David.
No, you're right on point because, you know, all you have to do is check yourself. You heard what Cheryl said when she first came on, how she used to be. What she had to go through back then and there, what her perception was back then and there. And, but then again, as she evolved, as she got to know herself, found out that who she really is. She's wonderfully made. God don't make no mistakes. And see, when an individual, this is I know for myself, because I had what they call, I was one of them children that what they had called low self-esteem. And the only reason why you can get something like that because if you were getting bad information, and that's what you process. The truth of the matter is, man, God did not make no mistake when he made David Murphy. And I'm amazed at David Murphy myself because there is no limitation as far as I'm concerned. But I can tell you this. That yesterday is yesterday, and yeah, this is what they Black History Month. But I'm gonna tell you this in closing, and it's just four of us on here tonight, and you heard from four different people. We have one thing in common. Yeah, they consider us black. And then another thing in common, we did come out off the streets of Baltimore, but right now we in. Both we in Maryland, we in Virginia, we in North Carolina. We got two people in North Carolina on here. And all of us had some history about ourselves and some of the, you know, things that we had to overcome. That's how life is. You have to come. There's many options that's going to be before you. But for those of you who are on Facebook Live, those of you who are on Blog Talk Radio, let me share this with you. Now, I asked three different people about, you know, their past and their history, and you heard various stories about who they are, what they're capable of doing, what they have done. And so no matter, and this is coming from me to you, no matter what somebody said to you, no matter even what you think about yourself sometimes, because you can lie to yourself. Ask me how I know. But then again, I want you to know that there's no one, Cheryl hit it so hard on you, no one like you. And you should celebrate that. You have some gifts and talents that God puts, you know, he gives every man a measure of gifts and talents. All you have to do is find those gifts and talents, and you nurture them. And usually this is a hint. Those are the things that you like to do. Those are the things that you have special skills in or you have a special interest in. Nurture them. Dig into them. And not only would you find your gifts and talents, but when you do that, you find your purpose. Once you find your purpose in life, life becomes worth living. And you heard it said to several people, you know, it's about our legacy. Like I say, my children are going to know who I am. They know what I stand for and what I'm about. But they're going to have to make a way for themselves by who they are. They can't live off of who I am. They have to live off of who they are. And so must you. And if you don't know, you know, all you have to do is ask. You ain't got to run all over the world. Everything is, but you have all that power within yourself. Within yourself. Stop looking out in all the wrong places. Look within yourself. Ask yourself questions. And I'm quite sure you will get the answer. Be honest, you can't run. You can lie. I know sometimes we try to lie to ourselves, but you know, the truth of the matter is you are unique, talented. You're one of a kind. You're truly the original. And don't let nobody explain to you who your history is or what you're supposed to be and what you this, that. Don't let nobody put you in a box. And I'm just going to say this in closing. I want to thank you, Cheryl Ricks, for sharing this evening. Mr. Walter Dempsey Murphy for sharing, and Brother Satari Jahi. It's just a small group that was on here tonight. But I can tell you this about each individual on here. They're the real deal. They don't put on the ass for nobody. What you saw is what you get. And they like to keep it real. And I'm going to tell you something. It's in the National Black Unity, and there's a host of us, like the three or four of us on it now. Get involved with this publication. Read the pub. Subscribe to it. And those of you who have gifts and talents that you want to share with the world, this is an excellent way for you to do so. And say, God is moving not only in our individual lives, but collectively, we are a powerful force. My brother loved this word he used to tell me. It's called synergy. And that's power. See, what we have right now is synergy. It's two or three of us on there. That's synergy. That's all this energy coming together. And we definitely can use your synergy, your energy, to make us even stronger. And if we don't stand up for ourselves, nobody else is going to. And we have everything God put in everything they need. There's no obstacle too great. All you have to do is learn to deal with it. But again, I have a great deal of respect for everybody on there. I have much love and respect for everybody on there. And I'm going to bid you all a good night. You know, we'll be back on there tomorrow night at 7:30. For the National Black Unity News Podcast. Powerful information. If you're interested, as I said earlier, to subscribe or become an editor in the publication where you can share your gifts and talents with the world, because we are now globally. We are worldwide. The National Black Unity News is circulated all over the world now. But again, this is about us uplifting us. This is about us taking our energy and turning it into that synergy. And so I want to bid you all good night. Thank you, Sister Cheryl, Brother Walter Dempsey Murphy, Brother Satari Jahi. We'll see you all tomorrow night, and we'll see you back here next Monday. I just want to thank you for your time. I'm going to bid you all a good night. Take care.
All right. Up, up, you mighty race. You accomplish what you will.
That's right, my brother. I hear you. All right, y'all take care now.
Goodbye.